Welcome to all of you listening online today. It is great to have you with us. Today we are going to do or take a final exam on the book of Ecclesiastes, which we have been studying for several months. So we look forward to this time. I would just say before we get into the exam itself, you might want to grab several sheets of paper for you to write on, so you can write your answers down as we go along. There's about 50 questions, and I'll go through them with you, give you time to answer them and so on. But at any given point, you can stop the recording. You can stop the, obviously the slides are already stopped. You don't have to advance on, and you can spend as much time as you want. When we get through the 50 questions, there will be an opportunity for you put on one on the slide on the end to just stop. If you want to go back, you can go back. You can spend as much time as you want. You can put it aside, and you know, in a day, and the next day, you can go through it. There's no time limit on this, so it gives you an opportunity to really think through the answers and how much you have retained from memory of this particular study of the book of Ecclesiastes. So grab yourself some paper and you can jot those things down, and we will go through these questions, and then we will pause in between enough so that you can, if you want to, stop it, go back and spend more time on the questions, and then we'll go through the answers at the end. So let's jump in and take a look at the final exam. Question number one. The author of Ecclesiastes' Hebrew name is what? I don't expect you to put down the actual Hebrew itself, but the English for that Hebrew name is what? Number two, that name means what? We discussed a couple of different meanings. I favor one. Either one is fine and acceptable. That name means what? Number three, true or false? Ecclesiastes was written between 731 BC and 735 BC. Ecclesiastes was written between the years 731 BC to 735 BC. Is that true or false? Number four, it is commonly held that what wrote Ecclesiastes? In other words, we're talking here about the author of Ecclesiastes. It is commonly held, I realize there are some who maybe name somebody else other than this person, or they say we can't identify who the author is of Ecclesiastes, but anyway, commonly held by most scholars in the view that I hold. Who wrote Ecclesiastes? Dual authorship. Number five, give three reasons for believing this person is the author. So if you came up with who the author is and who we said it is, number four, why do we believe that it's this person? And I think I gave maybe four reasons. I'm just going to ask for three here. Three reasons for believing this person is the author. Why would we believe and name this person as the author? All right, number six. Name as many subjects as you can that are covered in Ecclesiastes. Name as many subjects as you can that are covered in Ecclesiastes. You remember our very last teaching session, we actually put up on a slide 12 different subjects that are covered. There are many more, but 12 major ones I put up there. That's kind of what I'm looking for here. Name as many subjects as you can that are covered in Ecclesiastes. All kinds of subjects. Name as many as you can. Okay, number 7. True or false? Ecclesiastes is a negative book. Ecclesiastes is a negative book. Right, number 8. Ecclesiastes is classified as both blank and blank literature. What kind of literature is the book of Ecclesiastes? It can and does fall under two different categories. What are those categories? Number 9, the temple built for the people of Israel by Solomon was the, in the whole line of temples that are built, where does the temple that Solomon built, or Solomon's temple, where does that fall? Was it the second temple for Israel that was built? Was it the first? Was it the third? Was it the fourth? Where does this particular temple fall? All right, next slide, number 10. What is the purpose of the book of Ecclesiastes? What is the purpose of the book of Ecclesiastes? Okay, number 11, the word vanity, as used in Ecclesiastes, means A, worthless, B, a bathroom sink, C, meaningless, D, purpose, E, A and C. As vanity is used in Ecclesiastes, out of that list, what does Ecclesiastes mean? Okay, number 12. Name the 4 examples that Solomon uses to illustrate that life is just meaningless cycles. Solomon gave us 4 examples of cycles in this world that show that life is just meaningless. Cycles. What are they? Okay, number 13, true or false? future generations will no more remember the scholar than they will the beggar on the street. Future generations will no more remember the scholar than they will the beggar on the street. True or false? Solomon sought pleasure in what eight areas? There were eight areas that Solomon talked about that he investigated, that he tested. What are those eight areas? He sought pleasure, and he sought pleasure in these eight areas. What are these areas? Okay, on to page three. This is matching. And of course, this comes out of chapter three of the book of Ecclesiastes. These are all the a time to. So match these on the left-hand column. Take them one at a time and match them with the appropriate one in the right-hand column. And rather than drawing lines, what I would do is when you find the answer, whatever it might be, for instance, to number one, just put the letter beside it or after the word and. So you're not, you know, drawing all these lines. If you just put the letter down from the right-hand column that matches that one, then you'll be in good shape. And again, you can always go back to this particular question and you can spend more time on it. You need more time. I'll give you a little more time. Okay, let's move on to page four. Number 15, there is an appointed time for everything because there is a blank blank who is in control. There is an appointed time for everything because there is a blank, blank who is in control. Okay, number 16, God has put what in their hearts? God has put what in their hearts, their meaning men's hearts. Number 17, Solomon said, two are better than, is it A, bird in the bush, B, always trying for three, C, work, D, one. Two are better than a bird in the bush, or always trying for three, or work, or one. With God, everything becomes blank. With God, everything becomes what? Number 19. There are four kinds of men that Solomon describes as they relate to work or as they relate to their work. Four kinds of men. What are those four that he talks about? Number 20, what is Solomon describing when he uses the word miscarriage? What is Solomon describing when he uses the word miscarriage? Number 21, give the five advantages of going through life with a friend or marriage partner. Solomon gave us five advantages of going through life, not isolating ourselves, but with another friend or friends, or a marriage partner. What are those five advantages? Okay, number 22, when we enter God's house, we are to A, fear God, B, listen more and talk less. C, prepare before we go in. D, realize who God is and realize who we are. E, don't be wordy. Or F, all of the above. Number 23, true or false? If you walk out of a church service not hearing from God through His Word, then you have not worshiped. You have attended church, but you have not worshiped. Is that true or false? Number 24. Better to be blank and blank what you have with what you have than to waste your life desiring what you do not have. Better to be blank and blank what you have than to waste your life desiring what you do not have. Number 25. In the course of a life, which is better? Wealth or poverty? Health or sickness? Fame or obscurity? In the course of a life, which is better? Wealth or poverty? Health or sickness? Fame or obscurity? All right, page 6. Number 26, money has a dark side. Fill in the blank. So the first six starts out, the first six out of these seven. The more we have, the more we, what? And it goes down and it kind of follows a progression. So these are what have been given to us in the book of Ecclesiastes, talking about money and showing us that the more we have, the more we end up doing something as a result. What are those? And then when you get down to number 7, the more we have, the greater the what? Again, this is kind of a progression. That we're taken through. And it results in number 7. Okay, number 27. Money will never satisfy, but God will. God is the one who gives man three things that money can't. What are those three things that we listed and gave to you? Money will never satisfy, but God will. God is the one who gives man three things that money cannot give you. What are those three things? All right, number 28. Why is the day of one's death better than the day of one's birth? Why is the day of one's death better than the day of one's birth? Okay, 29, true or false? God makes the day of prosperity, but not the day of adversity. Is it true or false that God makes the day of prosperity, but he does not make the day of adversity? Number 30, when times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, be what? When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, we are to be what? Okay, number 31, true or false? Old age is guaranteed, old age or a long life, is guaranteed to those who are righteous. True or false? Old age is guaranteed to those who are righteous or living a long life. 32. The power of an evil woman is like A, a trap to catch animals, B, a snare net to catch fish, C, chains to bind prisoners, D, is it A and C, or E, is it B and C, or is it F, A, B, and C? What are some wise things to do when dealing with government? We looked at this in chapter 8, where we looked at what the author says to us, what Solomon says to us when dealing with government. Here's some wise counsel, Solomon says. And he lists several things in those verses that we need to follow when dealing with government. All right, 34. We share with unbelievers a common what? But we do not share a common what? So we as believers share a common what with unbelievers, but we do not share a common what? One of the last periods, we talked about better than. And in number 35, Solomon illustrates that there is always hope by saying, a live mosquito is better than a dead horse. Or did he say a live minnow is better than a dead crappie? Or C, a live cat is better than a dead gorilla? Or D, a live dog is better than a dead lion? Number 36, whatever your hand finds to do, and then fill in the rest of the blanks. Whatever your hand finds to do, fill in the rest of the blanks. Okay, number 37. Though something may be highly favored, what and what sometimes affect the outcome more than the skill or ability? Ability does not necessarily guarantee success. So though something may be highly favored, we took a look at several examples of that. Though something may be highly favored, what and what sometimes affect the outcome more than skill or ability? Ability does not necessarily guarantee success. Number 38. God does the un-what? God does the un-what? He appoints the time and occurrences. A fly in the ointment refers to A, something very small can ruin something very great. B, the preferred method to catch flies. C, what happens when the cover is left off of a bottle of ointment. Or D, none of the above. Okay, number 40, true or false? Taking risks is unwise and foolish. Taking risks is unwise and foolish. When taking a risk, we are to A, use our brains, B, study the situation. C, take all factors into consideration. D, seek wise counsel. E, do the best we can. F, leave the results to God. Or G, all of the above. Remember your blank in the days of blank blank. Solomon compares the aging of the body to A, an old chariot, B, an old sword, C, an old house, or D, an old ship? Casting your bread upon the water means A, feeding the ducks, B, a good way to get rid of stale bread, C, protesting the local bakery, or D, taking calculated risks. Okay, 45 is again matching. These all come out of Solomon's description of when we grow older, our bodies when they grow older, and he gives 14 different descriptions here. That's on the left-hand column. On the right are what those mean, what those descriptions, what those things that he uses, the way he describes various things, what the meaning of them is, those are on the right-hand column. So match those together. And again, just take the letter and put it at the end of the description in 1 to 14. Again, if you don't get these all right now, no problem. You can pause this, stop it before we give the answers, and you can go back to any of this, and you can spend as much time on it, figuring it out, matching them up as you need to. There's no time limit on this exam, so you can go back to it. Think it through some more. All right, let's move on to page 11. Number 46. These are the last ones here, the last five questions. Solomon uses goads and nails to describe what? And what do each of those mean? He uses them, how does he use them to describe something? And then what do goads mean? What do nails mean in the way he is using it? Are those two particular things? Okay, number 47. True or false? Barnes & Noble is a good place for a Bible teacher to get his information. Solomon had a verse in there about books. Studying other books, using other books other than the Bible. Is that good or is that bad? 48, Solomon concludes Ecclesiastes with two commands. What are those commands? Kind of what he has just summed up in the entire book of Ecclesiastes that we talked about. It's the second to the last verse in Ecclesiastes. He says, when I sum it all up, when I look at everything, here's two things that I command you to do. What are those two things? The last verse in Ecclesiastes says, A, greet Artaxerxes, or B, grace and peace, or C, beware of idols, or D, God will bring every act to judgment, or E, none of the above. Closes off the book of Ecclesiastes. How does he close it off? Does he say, greet Artaxerxes? Does he say, grace and peace to you? Does he say, beware of idols? Does he say, God will bring every act to judgment? Or is it none of the above? And number 50. Give five reasons why it is important to study Ecclesiastes. Give five reasons why it is important to study Ecclesiastes. Gone through this book verse by verse, and we pulled a lot out of it. As you look at Ecclesiastes, put down five reasons why you think, after having studied it, why it is important to study this particular book. Now, you might want to spend some time on that, so I will pause here for a length of time for you to jot all five of those down. That might be something that you want to come back to and spend some time thinking about it as we have gone through all of this. So the next slide then, it says stop. This is the end of the exam. You may go back and spend as much time as you need to complete the answers. When you feel you've completed as much as you can, then you can move forward to the following pages, which contain the answers to the exam. So if you don't go forward from this point, but you want to go back, you want to work on it some more, some of the matching, some of the questions and so on, feel free to do that. It's one of the advantages of the way we're doing this, that you can go back now and you can spend as much time as you want, spend as many days as you want, thinking this through, coming up with the answers. But we'll move on with the answers now, and I'll explain a little bit on some of the answers as we go along. Okay. So the author of Ecclesiastes' Hebrew name is Koheleth. Koheleth. Q-O-H-E-L-E-T-H. Koheleth. Number two, the name means teacher or preacher. I prefer teacher. Either one is correct. True or false, Ecclesiastes was written between 731 BC and 735 BC. The answer is false. It was written from somewheres between 931 BC and 935 BC. So we got two centuries earlier that this was written. It is commonly held that who wrote Ecclesiastes? Well, Solomon is the human author, and the Holy Spirit is the divine author. All books of the Bible, you have two authors. You have a human author, and you have a divine author. The divine author is always the Holy Spirit. In this case, Solomon, I believe, was the human author. So in verse 5, give three reasons for believing this person is the author. Well, number one, he's called the son of David, the king of Jerusalem in Ecclesiastes. in a couple of different places. So that gives us a pretty strong indication, being the son of David, which certainly Solomon was, and king of Jerusalem, which Solomon was as well. Number two, because of his wealth, he had all of this wealth that he could use to investigate to the fullest all of life. And you can tell that he had all of this, and he would draw upon those that wealth in order for him to go out and to experiment, in order for him to use the illustrations that he did. Number three is his accomplishments that are given in Ecclesiastes. Many places where it just talks about what he did, built the gardens that are talked about, and so on, give us an indication of his accomplishments. And fourth, last on here, but certainly not least, is the fact that his wisdom that he talks about and uses throughout this book indicates that this is Solomon himself. Number six, name as many subjects as you can that are covered in Ecclesiastes. Well, some of the ones that we had put down is vanity, wisdom, work, pleasure, money, life, death, justice, government, worship, teaching God's word, and God himself. These are all subjects that you will find in Ecclesiastes. Very broad spectrum that Solomon covers. That's why it's so applicable and so good for us to study and to apply to our lives. Number seven, true or false, Ecclesiastes is a negative book. Well, it's not a purely negative book, so in that sense it is false. There are a lot of things in there that are looked at under the sun that certainly are negative. But that's not Solomon's purpose, is just to present us with a negative book. His purpose is to reveal to us the truth of life the way it is, which is pretty negative under the sun. There isn't a whole lot here that's positive. But he introduces God into the whole equation and situation in the book of Ecclesiastes and tells us that with God, that's where our hope is, because it is God who is in control of everything. And when we connect with him, we have hope beyond this world, beyond the sun. In connecting with him, the eternality of God, and therefore when we're connected to him, our lives as well. And then we've got in, so I would say that that's false, because it's, you can't just brand it as a negative book. Number eight, Ecclesiastes is classified as both what kind of literature? The answer is poetic and wisdom literature. They are two of the classifications of literature in the Bible. You've got everything from prophetic literature, you've got didactic literature, you've got epistolary literature, which is Paul's writings. Didactic is epistles. You have narrative, which is the Gospels. You've got prophetic, which is the book of Revelation. So you've got all these kinds, but you've also got the Psalms, the Proverbs, and the book of Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. They fit into the poetic and wisdom literature. Those books, Ecclesiastes, of course, fits right in with it. Number nine, the temple built for the people of Israel by Solomon was the, and the answer is B, it was the first temple. The first temple that was built. Number 10, what is the purpose of the book of Ecclesiastes? Well, it's to show that life under the sun without God is pointless and meaningless. He gets that across, and then, of course, he gives to us what the solution is for that meaningless existence, and that is God himself. Number 11, The word vanity as used in Ecclesiastes means, and the answer is A and C. Vanity means worthless. It means meaningless. That's the way he uses it in this book. Number 12, name the four examples that Solomon uses to illustrate that life is just meaningless cycles. Well, number one is life and death. People are born, people die. More people are born, more people die. This is an endless cycle. Number two is the sunrise and the sunset. It says that the sun rises, then it sets, and then it hastens its way around the earth to rise again. And so that is another meaningless cycle of just coming and going. What's the meaning behind it? What's the meaning behind being born and dying? And that cycle that goes on with people in this world. Three is the wind. The wind comes, the wind goes. Again, it comes again, it goes, swirls around. All the different patterns of wind that we see. What's the purpose, Solomon is saying? What's the point? And number four is evaporation and precipitation. So the evaporation occurs off of, let's say, a body of water, ocean, lake, whatever. But if we think of the ocean, comes up, forms clouds, passes over, let's say, mountains, whatever, and then the precipitation falls. Precipitation runs into streams, rivers, so on, back into the ocean again, evaporates. All of this takes place over and over again. Solomon is saying, if you take a look at life itself and what goes on, it's just an endless, meaningless cycle. Number 13, true or false, future generations will no more remember the scholar than they will the beggar on the street. And that is true. Future generations will no more remember the scholar than the beggar on the street. If you are disconnected from God, not connected with him, you die, and you might be the most intelligent person, you might be the most wealthy person in the world. But when you die, you will no more be remembered than the beggar on the street. So the grave, death, Solomon says, is kind of an equalizer of everyone. 14, with the exception of believers who are connected to God. 14, Solomon sought pleasure in what eight areas? Well, there was riotous laughter. There was controlled drinking. He had estates, servants. You can have the number one business. You can have wealth, music, sex, all of this. Solomon dove into, researched it, investigated it, whatever, got all done. It's all vanity. It's all meaningless. That's his conclusion that he comes to. Then we come to matching. So we have a time to love, and the answer is N, a time to hate. Number two, a time to keep, and K, a time to throw away. Three, a time to give birth, and E, a time to die. Four, a time to weep, and O, a time to laugh. Five, a time to throw stones. J, a time to gather stones. Six, a time to plant, and L, a time to uproot. Seven, a time to search, and G, a time to give up as lost. 8, a time to kill, and C, a time to heal. 9, a time to tear down, and F, a time to build up. 10, a time to mourn, and M, a time to dance. 11, a time to embrace, and I, a time to shun embracing. 12, there is an appointed time for everything, D, a time for every event under heaven. 13, a time to be silent, and B, a time to speak. 14, a time to tear apart, and A, a time to sew together. And 15, a time for war, and H, a time for peace. Okay. Number 15, there is an appointed time for everything because there is a sovereign God who is in control. Sovereign God. 16, God has put eternity in their hearts. Solomon said, two are better than, and the answer is D, one. Two are better than one. 18, with God, everything becomes meaningful. Without God, it is meaningless. With God, it is meaningful. Everything counts because we will all be judged on everything that we did in this lifetime. 19, four kinds of men that Solomon describes as they relate to work. Well, the first one is the workaholic. The guy that just works and tries to get ahead. Puts in his 70, 80 hours a week. Number two is the person on the other end of the spectrum, and that's the lazyholic. He's the person that's copped out. He's dropped out of society. He's the one that Solomon says you're just going to waste away. You're not going to work. You don't work. You don't eat. And so you're a lazyholic, somebody who has copped out. Number three is the balanced man. The balanced man is one who sees his work as from God, goes to work, enjoys his work, sees that he's accomplishing things, but he's living a balanced life so that he also has time for other things, for family and friends and so on, and obviously for spiritual things. Number four is the independent man. Here's the independent man. He doesn't want anything to do with relationships, whether it's friends or husband, wife, whatever. This is an independent person. And this guy just eats, sleeps, and drinks his job, his work. He's much like the workaholic. But this guy is even to a further extreme, because where the workaholic will have friends, he might neglect them, might neglect his family and so on. The independent man, he doesn't even get involved in relationships because he is so focused on his life, his job, his work, and so on. Number 20, what is Solomon describing when he uses the word miscarriage? Well, when Solomon tells us if you have a lot but you can't enjoy it, if you have a lot of stuff, a lot of things, but you can't enjoy it, and then you die, it's better to have miscarried than to go through life and not being able to enjoy what you have. It's better that you have, one hand, he says, you have not have lived at all. You have would have been miscarried. It would have been much better. Give five advantages of going through life. This is number 21, page 5. Give five advantages of going through life with a friend or a marriage partner. Well, number one, we talked about efficiency, that you have a friend or a partner. There is an efficiency that is achieved. There is number two, capacity. You have a greater capacity as an individual, if you are partnered up with somebody else. Three are profits. Four is benefits. And five, relationships. So efficiency, capacity, profits, benefits, and relationships. Five advantages of going through life with friend or friends or a marriage partner. 22, when we enter God's house, we are to, and it's all of the above. Out of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, fear God, listen more, talk less, prepare before we go in, realize who God is and realize who we are, and don't be wordy. So it's all of the above. Solomon really gets on this when entering God's house. God's house today is wherever the church meets. It can be in a home, it can be a shopping center, wherever the church meets, there is to be preparation before we go in, and those five things should take place. Number 23, true or false. If you walk out of church service not hearing from God through His Word, then you have not worshiped. You have attended church but have not worshiped. That is true. The priority, Solomon says, is on listening to God and listening to His Word. And if you come and you do everything else but that, regardless what that other worship takes place, you really have not worshiped. The greatest thing we can do when we come and we worship God is to listen to His Word, because there it will change our lives more than anything else. And everything else we do in worship simply comes off of that, is an outgrowth of that, whether it's singing, whether it is testimony, whatever it is, it comes off of the Word of God itself. 24. Better to be content and enjoy what you have than to waste your life desiring what you do not have. Better to be content and enjoy what you have than to waste your life desiring what you do not have. 25, in the course of life, which is better? Wealth or poverty, health or sickness, fame or obscurity? The answer is we don't know. Only God does. That's why we all experience things in our lives that relate to that. Whether we, as Paul said, I know how to live with a lot, I know how to live with little. It's all good. Whether I am healthy or whether I perhaps end up in the hospital. Whether I am famous or I am obscure. Nobody even knows about me. God is the one that determines that. And sometimes it is better to be in poverty or to be in sickness or to be obscure. In those times, God is teaching us and growing us to become like Christ. And so we can't say which is better. The world would say, in answering that, obviously that wealth and health and fame are much, much better. In the Christian life, that is not true. Number 26, money has a dark side. So this kind of follows a progression here. The more we have, the more we oppress. The more we have, the more we want. The more we have, the more we spend. The more we have, the more we worry. The more we have, the more we hoard. The more we have, the more we leave behind. And the more we have, the greater the darkness. So it's oppress, want, spend, worry, hoard, leave behind, which all leads to a greater darkness. 27, money will never satisfy, but God will. God is the one who gives man three things that money can't. Number one is the ability to enjoy life. The fact that you enjoy life is a gift from God, Solomon has told us. Money can't give you that. There are no promises with money. For many people, money just brings disaster. Read stories of people who have won the lottery. It's been just a tragedy in their lives of what has happened. Changed their lives, but not for the better, but for the worse. God gives us the ability to enjoy what we have. Number two, the number of years for man to enjoy life. So God gives that. He gives the number of years for a man to enjoy life. And He also gives us the place in life where we find ourselves. So God gives the man his place in life. 28, why is the day of one's death better than the day of one's birth? Well, because you left behind a good reputation. Birth, you don't know what is going to become of your life in the future. You don't know whether you will have and end up with a good reputation. But if you come to the day of your death and you have a good reputation that you are leaving behind, that's something productive. Everything at your birth is still future. It's unknown. Day of your death, you have a good reputation, you're leaving something behind. It's better the day of your death than the day of your birth. Number 28, true or false, God makes the day of prosperity, but not the day of adversity. That is false. God makes both prosperity and adversity. And because of that, no one can tell what the future is going to be. It is unknown. God will bend the road. He will twist the road around. And that is for our good. 29, when times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, be patient. Be patient. 31, true or false, old age or living a long life is guaranteed to those who are righteous. That is false. We spent quite a bit of time, Solomon spends time talking about you can be a righteous person, but your life can be over when you are young or middle age, whatever. You can be an evil person, a wicked person, a fool, and you can live to be 100. Those are just the things that God determines, not us. So there are no guarantees either way, whether you are righteous or whether you're evil, whether you will live a long life or you won't. 32, the power of an evil woman is like a trap to catch animals, a snare net to catch fish, chains to bind prisoners. And the answer is F, all of those three, A, B, and C, Solomon describes for us. 33, what are some wise things to do when dealing with government? Well, here's some things that I jotted down. There might be a couple of more. But be pleasing, he said, when you approach the king. Obey the government, submit to them. And we know that what the exceptions are when you look at Acts chapter 5. We went over that. Don't be hasty in judgment. Don't lead a revolt. Use proper channels to get through to government. Be patient and be an influence for righteousness. 34, we share with unbelievers a common destiny, but we do not share a common eternity. 35, Solomon illustrates that there is always hope by saying, and the answer is D, a live dog is better than a dead lion. 36, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Do it with all of your might. 37, though something may be highly favored, time and chance sometimes affect the outcome more than skill or ability. Ability does not necessarily guarantee success. We talked about runners, athletes that may be favored to win, and because of the timing of things or the occurrences, which is what chance means, things that come up and occur, it may affect the outcome drastically. So ability does not necessarily guarantee success. 38, God does the unexpected. He appoints the time and occurrences. In his providence, he brings forth exactly what he wants to bring forth. 39, a fly in the ointment refers to, and the answer is A, something very small can ruin something very great. Might be as small as a fly in the oil, but it'll contaminate the whole bottle of oil. 40, true or false, taking risks is unwise and foolish. That is false. You can't just talk about risks in a general sense and say all risks are foolish. That is not true. And that leads to 41, so that when you take a risk, you are to use your brains, study the situation, take all factors into consideration, seek wise counsel, do the best that you can, and leave the results to God. So the answer in 41 is G, all of the above. So we call that calculated risks, taking calculated risks. 42, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. 43, Solomon compares the aging of the body to, and the answer is C, an old house. 44, casting your bread upon the water means, answer is D, taking calculated risks. And then we have matching. And this matching, number one, the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, refers to J, fading of the mental powers. Number two, the clouds return after the rain. That's M, returning to a previous condition. Number three, watchmen of the house tremble. That's I, the arms and the legs lose strength. Four, mighty men stoop. That's C, the back begins to slump. Five, grinding ones stand idle, that's K, the loss of teeth due to tooth decay. Six, those who look through windows grow dim, that's E, eye problems, can't see clearly anymore. Seven, and the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low, that's N, refers to the mouth, must be kept shut when chewing because lack of teeth. And number eight, and one will arise at the sound of a bird, that's G, unable to sleep soundly. Nine, and all the daughters of song will sing softly, that's F, loss of hearing. 10, men are afraid of a high place, that's H, fearful of heights. 11, terrors on the road, that's B, afraid of travel. 12 is almond tree blossoms, that's A, the hair turns white. 13, the grasshopper drags himself along, that's D, person has lost the spring in their step. And lastly is 14, the caperberry is ineffective, that's L, a decrease in the appetites of life, food, and sex. All right. 46 on page 11. Solomon uses goads and nails to describe what? What does each mean? Well, he uses them to describe words taught by wise teachers. Wise teachers, their words are as goads and nails. Goads mean to serve to motivate. We talked about a goad is a long stick with a sharp point, metal point on the end. Nails, of course, are used to hold together a house, so the goads serve to motivate, prodding someone along, and the nails provide stability for the believer, as nails hold a house together, make it stable. 47, true or false, Barnes and Noble is a good place for a Bible teacher to get his information. That's false. Solomon says, don't weary yourself reading a lot of extra books. In other words, stick to the Bible, stick to the book that the one shepherd has given to us, as he says. 48, Solomon concludes Ecclesiastes with two commands. Number one, fear God. And number two, obey his commandments. 49, the last verse in Ecclesiastes says, and the answer is D, God will bring every act to judgment. And number 50, give five reasons why it is important to study Ecclesiastes. I'm sure you can come up with other ones than I did. Here's five that I put down to understand that life in this world under the sun is meaningless. Number two, to understand that without a connection to God, your life will have no eternal significance. Number three, to understand that wisdom can be of great benefit to us to get us through this life. Number four, to understand the depth of the sovereignty of God. I'm thinking there of chapter three. To everything, there is a time under heaven. Okay, number five, I put down to understand the importance of approaching God in worship. So, those are the 50 questions with answers. And hope you all did well in studying through it. It's always a great opportunity to take a test and to think through all of these things that we've been studying over the months in the past. If we are truly disciples, and that word disciple means, the Greek word manthano means learner. If we are learners, then we are those who come to learn and to study so that we may apply in our lives. It is critical in the Christian life for one to commit to memory and to their heart and to their soul the Word of God, so that we are truly, as he said, truly his disciples. And the fact that we learn, we've got teachers, we've got curriculum, which is the Bible itself, and then we are learners. And so by taking a look at this book, not only going verse by verse through it, but by reviewing it, and then by taking this exam that we took, I hope this cements some of the things in this book to your mind and to your thinking as you look at life and what's important in life and how you're to view life. So that concludes the book of Ecclesiastes. Next week, we will go into the New Testament and we will start another book. We will go through verse by verse. It is the third smallest book in the New Testament. And it is the book of Philemon. It's only one chapter, but it is a powerful book. And it is a particularly powerful book in the time in which we live, because it deals with the subject, among other things, but it's in the context of slavery. And that is a term that is being bantered about, talked much about in our society today. And so we want to go through this book. It is just a wonderful, wonderful book, the way it is approached, the way it is talked about, and all in a context of Philemon and a slave by the name of Onesimus. So there is much we can gain from this particular book, and I look forward to going through it. Obviously, one chapter won't take us a long time to go through it, but I think very pertinent to the day and age in which we live. So I am looking forward to that book and what is said in that book. So with that conclusion and with that word of what we are looking forward to, let's close our time in prayer. Father, we are grateful and thankful for the opportunity you gave to us while we are down here on this earth to go through the book of Ecclesiastes. Just such a wonderful book that covers so many subjects. Gives us such a, in many ways, different outlook on life. It is so easy for us, we realize, Lord, to get so wrapped up in this world and the things that go on in this world. Things that, because people living in this world without you consider so important. Everything from wealth and money and materialism and partying and drinking and it just touches on so much of this. And it's so great because it just gives us a great perspective. Solomon and all of his wisdom that you gave to him, all of that he imparts to us in this book and under the divine authorship of your Holy Spirit who guided him as he wrote these things down. They are without error. They are inspired and therefore we are to heed them and to follow them in our lives as we apply your word to the situations we face in our lives. We're thankful that Solomon ended this off by saying, fear God and obey his commandments. And what could be better and more fitting than to end this book simply, not with a lot of words, just with simple words which cover everything in our lives. Truly, if we do fear you, we will obey your commandments. We will hang on every word of Scripture and how it might apply to our lives. The God of the universe that gave us this book that we have the privilege of opening up and studying. We are truly grateful and thankful to you and for what you have taught us out of this book. And now we pray that the Holy Spirit will apply it and we will apply it diligently to our lives. So again, we're thankful to you. We pray now that you would use us, you would live your life through us as we live each day this week to your glory. For we pray this all in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen.